This week on Six Stars Only, we're walking through the definitive guide to getting your videos found in organic YouTube search so that you can build your audience and grow your channels faster. All right, we're here and we're going to talk this week about YouTube SEO. This is Six Stars Only, the very fun podcast with me and my best friend Jay Kyrent, where every week we strive to become better YouTube and video creators and teach other people to do the same thing by literally sharing everything we learn out in public where anyone can learn from it. And so my partner in crime, Jake, is here. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm a little tired, but I'm good. I just dropped a new video on my channel this week. You guys should check it out. Search
it's
Jake
really
Art
good.
On YouTube.
Okay, what is it? Just so the people know, what is the video?
So it is basically a top five cheese flavored crackers YouTube video. If you don't know, my channel is kind of food based, and it's kind of taking almost like a video game review style, like a PewDiePie or JonTron, but just applying it to food, and it's kind of, you know, it's satire for the most part. But I just did that, a lot of Cheez-Its, all that stuff, and just had a real fun time with it. Probably my longest video I've made yet, which is about almost 6 minutes long, which is not very long at all. And like, we'll talk about the importance of that later in this episode. But yeah, I'm super stoked. It was a lot of work, but I'm really excited to just make more content and make it more regularly. And that's why I'm really excited about today's episode, because I want to get better at, you know, to where people can actually see my video, because I'm still working on the SEO aspect. So I'm super stoked to talk with you about this today, because I don't know very much at all, and I'm excited to learn how to get better at this stuff. So yeah, man, I'm stoked.
Yeah, definitely. And so today we're really focusing in on search engine optimization, you know, SEO, people shorten it to, specifically for YouTube. So when you put your video out there, you know, YouTube is one of the world's largest search engines. I think it's the second biggest, right? So millions and millions of searches are happening, and people are looking for things. They're looking for answers to questions. They're looking for things to be entertained. And if you don't understand that, this is kind of why SEO and getting found in organic YouTube search is so important. If you don't understand what YouTube is looking for, what it values and what it doesn't, what people are searching for and what they're not, you can make a video that is just as high quality, that talks about the same topic, but still doesn't get found or still doesn't get traction because you just didn't understand the rules of the game, right? It's just like, you know, learning a sport or something. You can be really athletic, you can be really talented, but if you don't understand the rules, if you don't understand how to work in the system, you're going to just be fighting an uphill battle, and you're going to get really frustrated because you'll be fighting against the grain. So SEO kind of puts some tools in your pockets, gives you a clear direction, and gives you a clear series of steps that you can replicate to make sure that you're not just running in circles and that you can get that sustainable growth. What's kind of been your experience with YouTube SEO, Jake?
Not much, to be honest. I guess my experience with it was just, you know, tags, and that's basically it. So when you publish a video, you have the option to put, hey, you know, some relevant keywords, or, and I've heard from people in the past, like through various, you know, people just telling me like, hey, you know, make sure your, you know, title is catchy and everything. But I never really invested too much time. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just tried to put, you know, Jake Arndt and so-and-so, and it was really bland and very, basically, I just had no idea what I was doing, and I didn't even...
This feels like you're guessing, right?
No, yeah, like, it just felt like I was guessing, and that's probably, other than the fact that the content wasn't that great necessarily, but just, yeah, not like you mentioned earlier about you make something and then you just don't know how it works, and I'm
exactly.
Getting no views, no traffic, no build up, and it was really discouraging. So yeah, like, I think that's one of the biggest reasons I'm excited for this is, just learning more how to do that, because I'm still new. So I'm hoping to learn with you guys listening, because, and Matt's, I mean, again, we're not experts, but, it's a lot of good info. So I'm ready to be learned today.
Yeah.
Because
it feels like you're just groping around in the dark. You're trying to find, some things. And I found a really great, YouTube SEO guide from Brian Dean of Backlinko. He has this whole hub out there. He's putting out some great blog posts and guides and things. So a lot of the stuff we're talking about came from him. So if you go search like Backlinko YouTube guide or video SEO, mm-hmm. You can find some of his stuff. Really good resource. Highly recommend that you check it out, and we'll link that up in the show notes as well. But I want to start off because I have some experience coming from like marketing SEO and like getting ranked in search engines like Google. But YouTube SEO, it shares a lot of the same principles, but there are some specific things to YouTube that you need to understand fully if you're going to really rock it on the platform. Mm-hmm. And kind of the first big one is something that actually is very similar to SEO. If you've ever tried to get ranked on Google with your website and get found, and that's understanding the right keywords to get ranked mm-hmm. and to get found by people who are searching. And so there are a few ways you can do this, right? In Google land, if you're trying to do that, the main way you would do it is you can use like these fancy tools, and like you can go see how many people are searching for these keywords, and you can do all these things to optimize the text on your website page. And, you know, if Google finds that and it's high quality and people are engaging with it, it'll serve it up. YouTube is similar in a lot of ways, but there are some differences. But really, like, kind of there are a lot of simple things you can do. So the first thing to keep in mind, I think, is just know what wording and what phrasing people are using when they type into the YouTube search bar. And you want to use those words or similar words in your title and your description, and your tags. Mm-hmm. And so one of the best ways to really kind of figure out what's working and what's not is to start with your own videos if you have a channel out there. And the best place to start is with YouTube Analytics. Had you really messed around with YouTube Analytics much, Jake?
A little bit. I've dabbled in it more recently, but especially just kind of going into my old videos, like you mentioned, and seeing what kind of keywords worked. I guess kind of a practical, like a real world example. So I made a video about bad ads about like last year or so. And like most of my other videos, like I don't know what I'm doing with SEO. So I just put whatever's in the video, no matter if it's like how mundane or stupid. Yeah, like Cheez-Its. Like there's not that many people searching for Cheez-Its on YouTube necessarily. But there was a video on bad ads where I put some of the products, like it was like tech stuff in, you know, like, the, you know, the tags and in the title somewhat. And even now, like 1 or 2 years ago, I see like, you know, the real time stats where I still, like today I had like 15 or 20 views. Like that video, even though I unintentionally somehow like wandered into making it, like, you know, putting in like the better keywords, still gets more kind of views and more hits. It's like my second most, I guess, search video like on my entire channel. And it was like a few years ago. One, like the shortest videos, one of my like least proud videos. It's good, but it's kind of a bummer because I'm not really that proud of that video. But yeah, like it just kind of illustrates how important it is to know what you're doing and to put the correct things and the correct tags in the title, because that video, even though it's like 2 minutes long, is still getting me traffic more than a lot of the other videos that I spent a lot more time on. And yeah, that was just really crazy to see how, you know, had I done that combining with good, you know, good content, how much more views, how much more traffic and, you know, like pull it. It would have gotten, as opposed to just like groping around in the dark, throwing keywords, pulling out of a hat and just seeing what stuck.
Exactly. Yeah. So hopping into your analytics is the first thing that's going to tell you what's working on your channel and what's not, because you can see how long people are viewing videos, which ones are getting a lot of traffic and which ones are kind of getting ignored. And that can help you out with the topic as well as the specific words that you're using in those titles and those descriptions as well. You can start with your own stuff. Then the next best thing after that is looking at your traffic sources on there to kind of figure out some insights for how you can get more eyeballs on your videos. This is helpful because it'll tell you like where people are finding your video from. Are they coming in from Google? Are they coming in from social media? Are they finding it from YouTube search? Are they finding it from suggestions? And you can figure out kind of like where your video may be getting found or has room to improve and get found in a different way with your other videos moving forward. Because if you're really crushing it on search and suggestions, which are where most of your traffic to your videos are going to come from, really good. If you're getting none, then it tells you there's probably a lot of low-hanging fruit you can do or some more thought you can put into your research that'll help you get found in those places, which we do want to do. And then the last thing you can do after you check those two is check really YouTube search. And so there are a few tricks that are really helpful that we've kind of found for this. And The first one is to actually just use the autocomplete in the YouTube search bar. So it sounds so simple, but a lot of times the most helpful things are not these crazy, you know, pivot tables and Excel sheets and things. Those have their place. They can be helpful, but start simple. Just make it easy and go to YouTube. If you're doing, you know, YouTube ads, a video about it, type in YouTube ads and see what it suggests for you as the third and fourth word. Because at the core of SEO, getting ranked in search keywords, here's kind of like one of the golden rules is that it's always easier to rank for something very specific over something very broad. And so you're always going to want to rank for something, you know, if you're trying to do YouTube ads, you know, you just want to rank for YouTube ads. But that's such a broad keyword and it may be really popular that you may have to be like YouTube ads for food trucks, right? And adding those 3 to 4 extra words at the end makes it what's called a long tail keyword, which just means if you mapped out all the keywords, right, it wouldn't be getting a ton of traffic. Instead of, you know, 2,000 searches a day, maybe it's getting, you know, 20. But it's way easier for you to be the best in that very niche category than it is the super broad one. So that's one way you can do it. Jake, you mentioned this really neat trick that I hadn't necessarily heard of before. But do you want to tell us about the trick to find autocomplete before in the search? What was that about?
Yeah. So, something, and I believe it's actually from, I think it was from this, is that if you just go to the search function on YouTube, if you just hit underscore right before it, it kind of does the same thing. And it just gives you like a list of, you know, like say, you know, some video game like Bubsy 3D Review or Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, you know, for like, you know, underscore. And it shows the list of like, okay, what is the most searched? And then from there, you can see like, okay, this, you know, this word is, you know, searched a lot. So let's say, and I actually use that. So I retroactively from my older videos applied some of these tactics because like I mentioned, there was no, like there was barely any SEO like thought put into it. The tags were just not that like 5, like they were awful. So I like retroactively went back to, you know, Cracker Barrel was one of them. I always go back to that or some food and I just typed it in and I could just shows, you know, Cracker Barrel hash brown something like it just showed, like you mentioned, that, you know, like the long tail, more specific tags that, hey, no matter how small it may be, there is a subset of people that are searching for this specific thing. And I noticed even a few days after that, like, oh yeah, like those videos are getting kind of more, however slight it may be. Success for me is like, oh yeah, like 15 people watched a video I made like 2 years ago yesterday. It's like, it's insane because for one, video is not very good in my opinion. But in the past, I would tell my friends on Facebook, like, hey, watch my video. That's really cool. And after a day or two, no one would ever watch it again because there's zero, you know, like it's not being brought up in search. It's not being brought up, you know, through suggested videos or what have you. But yeah, just doing that or just typing in, you know, a Cracker Barrel, but doing underscore in the search bar. And then afterwards, whatever, you know, keyword or like whatever your video is about. So like if you're making a tech review, do it over the laptop that you're doing it over and seeing, okay, here are some of the videos that, you know, that keywords that are really high, you know, think about applying that to your video, or you can take it from there of like, okay, doing just a broad review of tech or something is, you know, it's too broad. So like, how can I, you know, focus on this one specific niche kind of tag to drive more traffic and what have you. But yeah, that was like a cool hack. And I actually found that out, was it just 1 or 2 days ago? And it's been cool to see however so slight the increase in traffic, 15.
It just feels so good.
It feels so good,
right?
Because it's actually working.
Compound. Yeah, exactly. And the great thing is the more you can get strangers to organically find those videos, the more, we'll talk about in a minute how it works together with your other videos, because the more people bounce around to your different videos, and as long as you can keep people on YouTube and on your channel and keep them, as long as they can find you and they stay engaged because you're creating great stuff, you have the start of sort of this flywheel where you're going to gain momentum and gain more people and gain more subscribers. And that in itself is going to make you more visible on YouTube overall over time. It's the start of something great and you're playing the long game. Have you tried by the way, with like sort of researching the niche and rewording some of your stuff, have you tried the YT Cockpit extension yet?
I have not. I've used TubeBuddy, which it's kind of similar, but I have not used the YT Cockpit yet. Care to elaborate on that? I'm interested.
Yeah, this is a new one I'd heard about. So YT Cockpit is a YouTube search tool, and kind of what it does is it'll give you like the average video length for a given keyword. It gives you a lot of different stuff, but one of the things you can find is, okay, if I'm searching, you know, pizza reviews or something, you know, Papa John's reviews, how long is the average video for that, you know, or iPhone review, how long is the average? Are they really long, like 10 minutes? Are they really short, like 3 minutes? And where can I kind of, you know, factor into that? Because maybe you want to make something that stands out from the competition, or it may be specific to a category that you just don't want to push it past what people are normally willing to watch. There are two different ways you could take that. The other thing you can kind of find is, and I think this is probably the more helpful part, is it can tell you if the first page of search results for that keyword is really crowded. Because if it's just really strong and all the videos there have tons of views and they're just really killing it and they're really high quality, it's probably not as easy for you to break into. It's probably not a good use of your time compared to something where maybe the videos are just, it would be way easier for you to clear that quality bar and make something that's 10 times better than the top ranked video. Or, you know, they're just not very popular. I mean, it's like you could just easily kind of lap them and make better content, better SEO optimized, and sort of like take that spot by earning it. Yeah. So that's a good one that I hadn't seen before either.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
What has it been like using, TubeBuddy?
It's been good. So,
what is that?
Basically, it's just like,
what have you been using it for?
So I'll just bring it up to kind of, just kind of elaborate it, because I know what it is, but I need to. But essentially, it's just an extension. It's a free extension, I think, to get more of the advanced features. You have to pay for it or what have you. But
a Chrome extension, right?
Yeah. So it's a Chrome extension, and basically, it just allows you to view. Let me see if my internet will cooperate, but I believe it takes you to pretty much like this. Here we go. A creator studio of sorts, and there is a dashboard and everything. There's a whole lot of stuff, but mostly what I use it for is to look at analytics of my own channel kind of more in depth. And you can do it, I think Matt and I kind of explored last time after the fact, unfortunately, of the Red Letter Media video, but you can look at, you know, the watch time of other channels. Essentially, you can like look at kind of more in depth of like their own videos. So let me bring up a video, speaking of Red Letter Media. I have to talk about them at least once every single podcast episode, apparently. So
the staple.
They're going to have to, like, we just always have to mention it. But let's see, bring them up and just bring up a random video. And
I think as well, another thing I saw was you can do competitor tag research.
You can, yeah.
So if there's a top ranked video for, you know, bad YouTube ads or whatever your video is, you can see, okay, what are the people in the top three spots using as their tags? Mm-hmm. And you can either, you know, see which ones are working or which ones aren't, and try something different based on that information.
So, for instance, actually, that's not Red Letter Media. That's a bad example. It's like a fan-created trash out of here. But you open it up, and it does more than just this, but one that's really interesting and off the bat is, so if you bring up a video, it immediately opens up a little window to the right of the video, shows the total views, comments, everything, thumbs up, thumbs down. And it has this little SEO kind of bar. I guess maybe I should just screen capture this. I don't know why. Just take my word for it. Pretty cool. Is there a way I can do it? Yeah, let me share a screen. Share it. There's just so you can view Matt's face again. But so here we go. Here's just like a basic little breakdown. And you go to SEO. 15 of 20 suggested videos are from this creator, blah, blah, blah. Tags appear 8 times in the title. And it just kind of breaks it down a little bit. You can show the search rankings, but it has its own little kind of button here. And that's what I mentioned about the dashboard. I haven't really, really dove into it because, unfortunately, a lot of it, like, it gets into the affiliate program stuff. You can go to like a health report, your own valuation. So if you were to make ad revenue, it would kind of give you that option as well. But it just kind of gives you more options, especially with, and I can kind of explore this more once my internet stops freaking out. It really helps when you're uploading and you're about to publish a video, and it kind of gives you recommendations for tags. So, like, you know, like if you're like me and it's really kind of tough, you don't know way too much about SEO stuff. There's this section where there's recommended tags. So it's like, okay, it analyzes your video and it kind of throws out there, hey, here's some good tags for your, you know, what your content is based on your title, and it kind of throws it out there. So it's really good. It's something I would recommend. Oh, there you go. That way you can't use it. But I would recommend it. Like I mentioned, some of the more intense features are kind of pay to play kind of stuff. But for just starting out, and if you don't know much about SEO or really just how to, you know, make a clean kind of video. And I think even with stuff like you can make templates. So like there's a certain ending for your video or what have you, or you want, certain videos, like a playlist, you have a playlist of videos that are always going to have this like certain tag. At least you can set it up to where it will just automatically apply that to that video. So you don't, it's just kind of less work and stuff. Really cool. Maybe we could do a separate separate podcast on just this. Once I kind of learn more about it, because yeah, I don't really feel comfortable giving all the ins and outs yet, but it's really cool, specifically with SEO and really just kind of learning somewhat about what other creators, successful ones, are doing, like what their tags are, how they're approaching getting their videos in search and all that stuff. So I'd really recommend it. It's a really good tool to use. So yeah, and it's free. So. And we're all about free stuff on Six Stars Only. So,
love it. Super good. Another big takeaway from the SEO sort of deep dive that I did the past week is sort of really uncovering what YouTube's number one ranking factor is. And if you take nothing else away from this episode, I think this is the biggest thing that will impact how you create your videos and how you sort of plan to get found in YouTube search. And that's focusing above everything else on total watch time. And really, there's this kind of big finding from the SEO case study in Backlinko that Brian Dean did. And the big thing was that the longer, and this makes total sense, but the longer that you keep people on YouTube, the more they will reward you by showing your video in your channel. And that makes sense because if you think about it, YouTube makes money from people watching YouTube videos. And so if they're watching not as many minutes, not as long on YouTube as a whole, or they're checking out a video and then leaving instead of staying and watching more, they want to show those videos less, and they want to show longer videos or videos that lead to you being more engaged with YouTube overall more, because they make more money and you get more views. And so that's what they're incentivized to show. So there are a few things you can do to really play to that. Once you understand that, it'll unlock your thinking, and you can do things like, rather than creating short videos by default, you can bias yourself towards creating long videos. And the reason why is that if you have a longer video, you can maximize your watch time. Because if you're getting people, if you make, for instance, one 50-minute video or one 10-minute video instead of five 10-minute videos or five 1-minute videos. If you make these longer videos that keep people engaged, that keep them staying on your video, staying on YouTube, super good. And if people watch all the way through, if they're spending lots of time on your channel on YouTube, that is one of the most critical things that YouTube looks for. And so there's the one aspect, just the amount of time they spend watching your channel and your video. And then the second thing is how long do you retain audience attention? And this is something I hadn't really thought through as clearly, but really what you want to make sure is that once people start a video, that they stay on that for as long as possible. You have to hold their attention. Jake, what are the things that you've seen that with people who really hold that attention well throughout the entire video and keep a high percentage of people watching?
Yeah, so from what I've noticed, it's because like you mentioned, obviously longer videos, but I guess the risk you run is that longer videos are kind of daunting. So you have to really make sure that you catch their attention at the beginning, and you have to mix it up. So what they do is they pretty much kind of break the pace, and it's not just this long droning info dump or what have you. They kind of, like a skit or something. They talk about some stuff and boom, like there's a different segment. For instance, I love video game review channels. Eat 'em Up. Most of the videos are at least 10 minutes long, sometimes longer, but they're so varied and this, the pace is really fast, and the ones who are really good at it and have a lot of subscribers, they've mastered the art of breaking up the pace and making it to where, even though it's a lot of content and just a lot of time, it doesn't feel like it, because it feels almost like little mini segments back to back to back to back for 15 minutes, as opposed to one giant video essay necessarily. Even again with Red Letter Media, we talked about Plinkett, about his Star Wars Phantom Menace. Those mother effer, like those videos are freaking long, but he did enough cutaways for little skits, these little bits,
they're always changing it up. One long monologue.
Yeah, exactly.
He's always changing up the visuals and doing jokes and like throwing stuff in there and surprising and shocking you and drawing you in. He breaks it up in clearly defined sections. There's a lot of tactics in there that you can unpack and learn from.
And it draws you in, and it, like you mentioned, it keeps you from the beginning, and it pulls you to the next bit, to the next bit, to the next bit, as opposed to, because the very second, even with me, with the very second when I feel like, okay, this is kind of getting too long, click, and you know, if I just watch a 15-minute video for like 3 minutes, then that's no bueno. So easier said than done, again, but that's something that even I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make my videos longer, trying to break up the pace and doing what I can do to keep people engaged. And that's pretty much like what Matt mentioned. That's one of the biggest things that you need, that you have to do. In order to...
Yeah, and I think you just kind of have to think of it as you have like these two villains over your shoulder, right? And they're trying to steal, they're trying to get people to bounce, and they're really going to attack at two main points. First one, they're going to attack right off the bat, right? If people start your video and in the first 16 or like 15 seconds, they are not hooked. They don't see the value they're going to get out. They don't think it's right for them. They're going to bounce out of there because they don't want to waste their time. So right off the bat, you have to grab their interest with a hook, and that's usually explaining clearly what's going to happen or what they're going to get out of it, the big takeaway, or doing something that shocks, surprises, interests you, creates sort of like a story gap where it's like, oh, I'm curious, I want to see what's going to happen, sort of thing. Or like, you know, for instance, like in the BuzzFeed series where, you know, they're doing like, you know, $5 tacos and $500 tacos or something silly like that. They might give you a quick sneak peek or explain the premise of the video. Like, oh, we're going to check out, you know, $5 taco, a $50 taco, and a $500 taco. You know, and then you want to watch to see all of them because you know after the $5 taco, you don't want to quit because you're going to see the other two segments. You know what's coming.
Yeah.
In a businessy video, it might be very clearly explaining, hey, in today's video, you know, we're going to explain, you know, how to sell more things on your e-commerce store by implementing the right Facebook pixel or something like that. You clearly explain the benefit, clearly know what you're going to get, and you explain that right away so that people want to watch. If that's what they're looking for and you say that in the first 5 seconds, they're engaged. They're willing to watch. But the second danger, that second villain, the place where they're going to strike is they're going to want to drop off somewhere in the middle or somewhere a little bit in, right? If it gets too, if their attention starts to slip, if you're not engaging, if you're being repetitive or it's poor quality, you know, if you get too far in, the lighting's bad, the audio's bad, the content isn't there, or it's just like a static shot and there just wasn't very much thought put into how it was produced. Or people just aren't feeling like it's high value enough. You didn't deliver on the promise you made in the first 15 seconds. People are going to zone out. They're going to quit. And they won't come back. And so just keeping those things in mind is huge.
Yeah.
And the pattern interrupts, like you were saying with the segments, I think Brian Dean does as well on his YouTube channel, where if he's explaining something, he'll cut away, he'll put on a silly hat, he'll pull out a prop and just do something, you know, once or twice a video. And he calls these pattern interrupts, right? Because you're watching the video, maybe you're watching someone's face and they're kind of explaining you, you know, this kind of thing. And maybe he'll cut away to, I almost think like Family Guy, you know?
Yeah, that's
where
that's
you're doing the thing
point,
and then they'll
yeah.
make something and then they'll cut away to this totally different scene or this totally off the wall thing that surprises you. You weren't expecting it. And because it was surprising, it holds your attention because it kind of re-engages. When you go back to that same familiar format, you're kind of freshened up. You're willing to extend your attention a little longer.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. Just because your video, I guess, needs to be longer doesn't mean that it, the, you know, the quality, like you mentioned, still has to be the same. And it might mean that it'll just take longer to edit your videos or what have you, but just don't, cause I know for me, so I'm taking control of the podcast, but this past video, still not even that long of a video, but it's still like almost 7 minutes or so. I even cut some of it out, but I was really tempted to just be like, all right, I just want to freaking publish this video, cause I've been working on it for like a week or what have you. But if you feel tempted, don't still put in the time to make it quality throughout, because like Matt mentioned, people will notice if the effort at the towards the middle or the end of the video isn't up to par like it was at the beginning. And something else, like another example of getting your attention, explaining what the video is going to be about really quick. This is something I see a lot. I'm going to go on a rant right here. There's Give it so to many me. Videos.
I want the rant.
So
give me the rant.
And there's a lot of different. So I don't know if this is still a thing, but for a time there was like these tin foil. There, I don't know if it's a challenge or something, like these Japanese like tin foil balls. I don't know if you heard about this, but you just take tin foil.
What?
Yeah, like it's actually really fascinating. So just go to YouTube. And I think it's just like pretty much these balls made of tinfoil, and people would just get like a hammer and they would just bang them, like, you know, make them go down, and they would buff them up to make them look like mirror balls. Like, it looked honestly really cool. But there was this guy, and I mean, he seems like a nice guy. God bless me, has kids. And his channel is really successful. I don't know if he had some of his videos had a few million views. Like, dang, man. But the premise of the video was, I'm going to make this like mirror ball kind of thing. And it was me and my work friends, and we were like, okay, like, this is really interesting. I want to see what this is. But this guy took so long to just get to the point. He explained it, but there wasn't very many pattern interrupts. It just wasn't delivered well. And just all of us were, so I found myself just like, kind of, you know, scrubbing on the timeline. Like, get to the freaking
Looking
point.
For an excuse
yeah,
to
like,
bounce.
I, cause I,
you're trying to give him a chance.
No, I was trying to give him a chance, and I was fascinated by the topic, but I was like, man, why are you making this so painful? So that's just, don't be like that guy. Again, he's more successful than I am, so I'm not like, you know, crapping on the dude, but it's just, get to the point immediately and then just go from there. Don't do these super long skits. I'm going back to like video game reviews. You want to explain the topic, but it's that happy medium. You want to explain what to expect, you know, what your video is going to be, but you don't want to bore, like, bash people over the head with it and make it an entire third of your video as well. Like, it just, it's all about balance. And that's something that you'll probably just learn by watching people do it well and by making your own content. That's something I'm still trying to figure out, because like all of these things, like most things, are much easier said than done. This isn't just like a one, you know, if you do these things, oh, like, it'll start getting thousands of views. Like, no, it just, it's a culmination of like working on these tools, these tactics, as well as just making better content, which just, I mean, you just have to kind of work out those kinks. But yeah, just that's huge. Please get to the point. That's something that grinds my gears. And I've seen that in
grinds
so many videos.
My gears.
And that's something that separates the really good content creators, like the upper echelon people, from pretty good, you know, like pretty good content creators that commit good stuff. But I feel like not having that balance is what could prevent you from reaching that next level. Which is where I want to be. So,
for sure. Session watch time. We talked a little bit about how YouTube is going to reward videos that keep you on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And that extends beyond just the one video. And the way I've had it kind of explained to me that made sense is, if you create the kind of video that makes people want to watch more videos on YouTube, whether that's your video or someone else's. Right. If someone comes to your video and goes and watches other suggested videos because they're interesting, or goes to your video and watches, you know, part one and then part two and then part three, or a bunch of other related ones because you've created sort of a category, that's way better than if they watch one video, have a good laugh, and then bounce out. That's not going to be as rewarded in the search rankings. And you're going to be found less if you have that kind of video versus one that creates, you know, repeat watchers. And so a couple of tricks that I've seen people using, or I guess not tricks, just smart ideas to do, is just using playlists. Mm. And I haven't used this a ton yet, but it is something I'm planning to do, especially some of these things I'm looking at, like at work, getting implemented as we find some ways to increase our YouTube subscribers and views and reach. I think playlists are a great way to even go back and reorganize videos that we already have, because what you want is to clearly organize these playlists. So just like in the video, people immediately see the what it is and they see the benefit. Mm-hmm. So rather than just saying, you know, oh, you know, this is, you know, original uploads or something like that, just something very generic playlist title. Say something like, you know, how to grow your website traffic, or something that clearly promotes the benefit, or, you know, hilarious food reviews, or I don't know. It's just something that's very, makes sense to people, and they'll want to watch, the entire segment. And kind of, even we mentioned doing repeat types of YouTube videos, different segments that you can do over and over again. Mm-hmm. Having a segment like that so that people know what to expect, they can watch all the food reviews in one place. Mm-hmm. For example, on your channel, I think will help a lot, because if people like one food review and it's hilarious, they'll probably like four more food reviews. And if they watch all four, that's going to help all your videos on your channel get ranked higher.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on that? I think there are a couple other things. And that what other things have you found with session watch time across the entirety of YouTube when people come?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, especially just with playlists. That's something that most of the YouTubers, especially the successful ones that I watch, really utilize that a lot. So game reviewers, again, with different series, different kinds of games, what have you, because it just automatically, I spend all my time, so I'm not probably the normal maybe YouTuber, but I watch YouTube now pretty much like TV. So I just put it on, working, you know, doing something to where it just plays, and I want it to be on a playlist because it's almost just like several episodes back to back to back, back in the old days on Nickelodeon when it was like, hey, Arnold plus so-and-so, this other, like, a lineup of like four great shows. And I was like, yes, I don't even have to get up and change the channel. So if you put it on like a playlist and they like the video well enough, like a Brahms review or whatever, you like, you know, and you're like vacuuming, what have you, and it should just automatically pay the next video, I feel like they're more likely to be like, huh, I wonder what this one's about, or, you know, all that stuff. So yeah, nothing else I could really say other than just playlists. Yeah. Don't break the chain. And maybe just callbacks to other videos that you made in like your own video. So obviously at the end, you know, you make the playlist and in screen. So there's little in screen annotations you can make now. So at the end of my video, I have subscribe, and I need to do more. You know, I should probably do like a voiceover, like, hey, thank you for watching my video, if you want to. And that's something else. I think that's actually another bullet point we actually have on there. So I'm kind of jumping the gun, but can make links that they can click to other annotations to other videos, or you can kind of name drop like, hey, in this last video I made, blah, blah, blah. And if you want to watch that video, click here, or I'll post it in the description below of so-and-so video. Basically just give your viewers all the reasons to watch, hey, this other video I have on this exact topic, watch that video. Like, make sure and watch that video after this one, or if you want to click this video, because this is part two, actually, so watch the first one before you watch this one. So just find as many excuses that you have, basically, to just stay on your channel, or to just watch more of your content. So just name drop it. Playlists are huge things. Annotations at the end. Throw those links out there and just get them to watch your stuff as long as possible, because like Matt said, it's huge. It just drives more traffic, and that's how your channel really just grows and kind of hits that next level. So
Yeah. And yeah, so you want to keep, always give them a next step. And I think even on your video, just keeping them engaged, mm-hmm. you want to keep folks engaged to channels and give them clear things that they can do to engage. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you can't just kind of say, oh, I hope people comment, you know, and they make it good and very nice, or, you know, whatever, you know,
yeah.
If you just leave comments up to fate, you may not be so pleased with the results.
Yeah.
You may not be pleased with the results anyways, but you have at least a better fighting chance if you give viewers something specific to comment on. And so one piece of good advice that I'm planning on following in the future is don't make people think about what to comment. So, for example, instead of saying, hey, you know, comment and tell me what you think, which is very vague. People have to work very hard and they have to do a lot of processing to figure out, wow, well, what do I want to say? What's important? Mm-hmm. How should I say it? If you say, for example, at the end, like, which is better, you know, Quick Trip or Come and Go, you know,
yeah.
Or, hey, what's the best soda, or what's the best flavor of LaCroix? Lime or berry? Fight me, mm-hmm. you know, and people have like a very like yes or no kind of option. It's one or two, they have a very clear choice and you've kind of given them narrow options. They're probably a lot more likely to engage because they have to burn mental calories thinking about what to write in.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, when people do comment, treat it like, you know, the King of England just commented on your YouTube video. Reply to everyone in the first 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially when you can. I mean, even if you have a bunch of comments, I would still take the time to reply to them all. But especially as you're getting started, every comment should feel like a bunch of fanfare. Mm-hmm. Engage with people, make them feel great, thank them for taking the time. Mm-hmm. Just don't take their attention for granted.
Yeah.
And then just like you were saying, I think that's so key, is just having a clear call to action to subscribe. Because if you don't ask people, not as likely to do mm-hmm. it. And even the thing I saw that in the SEO guide that was recommended is put like a visual subscribe button that looks like the subscribe button as an annotation in your video so that people can click that and subscribe. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great
and idea. I heard recently, and I assume it's still the case, but so you hit subscribe and there's also like this little bell thing next to the subscribe button. So I think that kind of sets up if you want notifications. I don't know if they're like push notifications or emails or what have you, but or let me find it. I'm trying to look at it. But yeah, like there's this little bell. And so it's kind of like subscribe. And then, you know, I want to subscribe, but also make sure that they hit that as well to just give them that way they'll get notifications that, hey, so-and-so has a video out. Because sometimes, especially I have a lot of subscriptions. It sounds I subscribe to a lot of, you know, like creators. And sometimes it gets almost like some of them get kind of like left out. Not intentionally. There's so many videos on my feed that it's tough. So if they hit that bell, I think YouTube, and I'll have to read more into this. So don't like take this 100% like Jake's lying. Like, I don't know. That's what I heard from videos of other content creators saying like, hey, make sure you hit this bell because YouTube's kind of changing with this whole like ad apocalypse thing. I don't know. That's a whole other podcast. But yeah, something I see a lot is at the end of the video, they do a voiceover. You don't have to necessarily maybe do a voiceover, but saying, hey, thank you for watching my video. I really appreciate it. Like, you know, they're super thankful. And then like what Matt said, they, you know, what other video, like, what other Sonic game do you want me to cover? Like what is, you know, they make it really easy to comment and they just, I don't know. Cause it feels good. Like, hey, like you watched a video. This person was nice enough to just thank you. Thank me for watching their content. They're engaging, they're interacting with me. And those are like big time YouTubers and they still like post in the comments every so often. Like they have like millions of subscribers. When I have 75, there's no excuse for me not to like engage. Someone comments on my videos. I'm just like, it's like Mr. You know, like that button, like that blur meme. I just go on there, comment, thank you so much. You know, it's, you have to kind of use that to your advantage. So in the last podcast, we mentioned about, 1,000 true fans, 1,000 true things. I'm getting our podcast episodes messed up. But when you're small, you kind of have that benefit of where you can have a direct relationship with your fans to where, yeah, like you can ask them directly, hey, what did you like? You know, what would you like to see in my next video? Like maybe you don't have ideas for videos. And I'm going back with video games again. A lot of times they ask their fans, what do you want me to cover? So like the fans kind of provide the content and they provide the subject matter for the next video. And when they make the video, those fans are like, well, my gosh, he actually made a video about it, like we told them to. And it drives them, you know, it gives them more reason to watch their next, you know, their next videos and stuff. But yeah, so that's what I notice. And they're rocking it and like they're killing it. They're engaged on Twitter, everything. So yeah, just interact with your peeps and the people that are just nice enough to watch your stuff, because it's really cool to have someone like your stuff in a comment. Like they took their time out of the day to comment on it. So go all out and thank them.
I think we got just a couple more to touch on. But video title, super key. And the main reason that video title is so key is for a couple reasons that I've seen. And that's, you want to make sure you touch on your target keyword that you want people to find you for. And you also want to make sure that it grips their attention so well that they have to click through. And those two things, having your keyword in it and making sure that it's super good, not clickbaity. There's like a fine line I found between like clickbaity, scummy, doesn't make the promise you can't follow through on, and like wording in a way that is very clearly grabs your attention. How have you found, have you been getting good titles and rewording your titles?
This is something I actually learned from you. I think it was BuzzSumo, and just kind of finding out the keywords that are working for certain videos. And
which like those power words.
Yeah, power words. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, best cheese crackers. Like if I just had that as a title, that's not like, what does that even mean? You know, and there's still ways I'm trying to learn on it, but just making it like, you know, putting in all caps, putting brackets on my videos, top five craziest so-and-so, you know, Brahms, you know, food review, just putting keywords in your video in the title, not overdoing it. So making it nice and succinct, but having, you know, like those power words and just searching in the search bar, hey, what keywords are like these other videos, like what do they use? Just look at like, you know, the most popular, like go to the trending tab on YouTube and like just look at how those videos are titled. Just apply that somewhat to your own videos to make it pop out. But like Matt said, yeah, there is a weird, and again, like with all things, it's kind of tough. It's hard to explain like when something's like blatantly clickbaity because it's off-putting immediately, but you need to have it to where it's not just boring. And, you know, I had a video a long time ago, just called Shirt. What is that? That's an awful title. It means nothing. It's literally one word. Like, what? Like, I can't believe I did that. But you just need to find that happy medium of making it appealing and incorporating tags that come up in search, and that tags and things that people are looking for.
And make it very clear, if people are searching for a problem, make sure your title spells out a solution. Mm-hmm. Right? And so if it's like Shirt, right? Let's imagine for a minute that you're explaining like, hey, how to start a t-shirt drop shipping business, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe instead of just like putting like, hey, t-shirt drop shipping business guide, maybe you might be like, how to make your first $10,000 in 10 days. Ooh, with good t-shirt drop shipping. It's like it cuts straight to the yeah. benefit, and it's very like specific and tangible, and people can see themselves in that. Mm-hmm. And it still has things like t-shirt drop shipping, which is still the main word mm-hmm. there. So something like that, for example, if you're trying to do a video trying to tell people how to start an e-commerce store selling t-shirts, because I'm Sean Connery selling James Bond t-shirts. But yeah, that would be a good way to go about it, yeah. I think. Just another thing, along with the title, give the description some love. You gotta go in there and make sure that it matches up as well. It's not as important as the title. Title is far and away going to be the more important aspect mm-hmm. here, but YouTube does look at what you write in the description. And so I would think about this like a mini blog post, almost writing 200 to 300 word descriptions for every video. Don't just, you know, phone it in, write a really good hook mm-hmm. in the beginning, because those first 125 characters is what appears in the suggestion. So people will see That's the good. Title and they'll see a couple sentences from the description. And if, you know, the title reels them in, or sort of grabs their attention, the description is going to kind of close the deal and, mm-hmm. and make sure that click hones in on your video versus all the other ones that are competing for attention. YouTube's also going to look at what's in your description for like your, you know, if you have that main word you're trying to look for, make sure it's in there at least once. That'd probably be a good idea. And then just talk about, you know, the benefits people are going to get. Talk about the topic a little bit. Just make it relevant. Mm-hmm. Google's pretty good at parsing through what you're saying and what you're actually talking about. But just talking about it and giving it a little bit more to work with is better than having nothing yeah. or having it be super choppy.
And put your social media where they can contact you and all that stuff. Yeah. It's tough because that's like the thing I kind of like, I'm super guilty of that, of like, all right, I've spent all this time editing, do all this stuff with the SEO, everything. Now it's time to put the description. I'm like, watch this. You know, yeah, like, don't neglect that. It's make it like a blog. I love that idea. It's really good.
Yeah. Keep in mind the trade off of that though. If you do have links in your description, just a trade off to consider that if they do follow that link and go away from YouTube, that could actually hurt your search mm-hmm. ranking. Rankings, because you're leaving YouTube, and they'll see that, which isn't ideal, but the benefit of that in some cases could really outweigh the search rankings. You know, it's just kind of a trade-off game. Mm-hmm. Cool. What else do you got?
Have we talked about thumbnails?
Ooh, okay. Tell me about, because you have really good thumbnails.
Thank you.
How do you think about thumbnails, and who do you see that's doing thumbnails well? How can I make my thumbnails better? I want to learn on this one.
Well, for me, and thank you, by the way. So, I believe on TubeBuddy, and I think YouTube just allows you to do it. You can make a custom thumbnail. Please make a custom thumbnail. Don't use a screen grab from your video. This isn't 2006. People, you just need to have good custom thumbnails. Go on the homepage of YouTube where I'm at right now, and they're appealing visually. They usually have the person, like, you know, the content, whatever. The font's good. Like, it's just something is happening. It's just, it's appealing and it catches the eye. Just like your title needs to do, just like your description needs to do, just like your video itself needs to do. What I use, I have Photoshop, so I spend a lot of time. I'm not a Photoshop guru by any means, but I just find images from online, PNG files especially, because they're already, because I'm lazy, I don't want to have to cut stuff out. I just like put layers on there and then just kind of rearrange them. Cracker Barrel, I have like the Cracker Barrel logo and just put this weird kind of junk because it's a comedy channel, so there's weird pictures. So usually people can get from my thumbnail, this video looks really crazy and wacky. Obviously, if you're like a business account, you don't want to put like the Golden Gate Bridge and like Ritz Bits crackers, like if Godzilla, like that's, you know, like be mindful of what your content is. Obviously, I believe, is it a, and I'm blanking right now because I'm exhausted. Is it, that's not Pexels. What do you use? Like
Canva?
Canva, that's what it is.
Canva is a great free tool you can use to design, yeah, your images, and you can find some templates in there. Super helpful. And for a business account, I would focus more on making sure you have a real person's face on it, because you can see that, you can connect with it. So if you do something like cut out, you know, a person from the background and put them on that, blow them up a little bit so that you can see them, and making sure that you have some large text that clearly spells out the benefit they're going to get from that. That those two things will help a ton. And just then otherwise, with a business thumbnail, just make sure it's branded using your colors, your fonts, things like that, and make sure it's clean.
Yeah.
Or at least eye-catching and has those things. Spot on. Along with that, I think another thing that's really helpful that I hadn't put as much thought to is just having a quick slogan for your channel, so that people know what to expect, or like a one sentence description of like, okay, if I'm going to watch Matt's videos, what am I going to get out of it? Right. And so if, you know, I'm still thinking through how exactly you want to do this, but for example, Brian Dean on his channel about you, about, SEO, you know, getting found in search rankings, his little slogan is, I think it's higher rankings, more traffic, which if you're looking to get your web pages and your videos ranked, that's what you want. Yeah. You want higher rankings and you want to get more people to your website. And so in just four words, he's very clearly spelled out what you're going to get, why you should care, why you should subscribe, why you should pay attention. And he does that right off the bat. He repeats that. And it's kind of, you know, his, you know what to expect from him.
Yeah.
And that's so huge for consistency. It's going to keep people staking around for the long term.
Yeah. And that's something that it's not just like a businessy, it's kind of just like a branding thing that you have to do. So if you're just like a content creator, just having a channel, like your channel icon, like your logo, and this kind of goes with the thumbnail thing as well, but there's on like just your homepage for your channel, the little banner image as well, just make that look clean. Just make it look like this person knows what they're doing. Maybe put the tagline, like, the, you know, the banner or what have you, and just brand yourself that way. Like Matt said, people know what they're going to get with each video. They know what to expect every week. And if they subscribe, like, hey, I want to grow my channel like a Roberto Blake, for instance. He's on YouTube and he just, a lot of his videos are just, hey, how to make a living on basically what we do, but it's in YouTube form. That's what he does. And he's good at it, but he just, it's plainly like laid out. Okay, here's what you're going to get for this episode. Here's the thumbnail. Everything's good. It's just, it's all of these things that like we've been talking about, but just done very well, and it's very clean and well done, and he looks professional doing it, and that's just something that obviously people bought into it, and like it looks good, and it encourages people to click and want to know what this guy has to say. So boom. Invest in that.
That's good stuff. Last one I think we can close up on is the almighty channel trailer.
Ooh,
I'd seen these in a lot of places, but I haven't done one yet. Have you done one
yet?
No,
I've like been thinking about it, and I think I've been putting it off for a while because I just don't know how to approach it yet, to be honest. Like how will I make my channel trailer? But no.
Well, I got some good news for you. I got a few starting places we can both look at when we do our channel trailers. So this is basically like your elevator pitch for a channel, right? If you only have like 30 seconds to explain to someone who you are, why they should care, why they should subscribe, what they can expect, how their life is going to be better in some way after your channel than before, this is your chance to do it. And so if someone, where this kind of comes in is if someone goes to your channel page you can feature a video usually.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably the video you want to feature, assuming you have a few different videos, maybe a few different segments, and you're really looking to juice your subscriber growth. When people come from a video, they find you in search or from somewhere else, and they come to your channel page, this is your chance to sell them on watching more videos and subscribing to your channel. And so before you do any of that, they first have to know who you are, right? Mm-hmm. Before you earn the right to explain anything else, they just have to know, who are you? And then why should I care, right? So what's in it for me? Audience is selfish. And that's okay, because you have to earn the right to their attention, right? You're not entitled to their subscribe. You have to convince them that it's a good idea, and then you have to follow through and deliver. So explain who you are, explain why the heck they should care, and then explain why you're different, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's tons of comedy channels out there. There's tons of channels on business and marketing. Why should I give you my precious attention over someone else? And you have to have at least a reason why you stand out. And then make the case for why they should subscribe. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's saying, you know, in the case of the YouTube SEO stuff, hey, you're going to get higher rankings and more traffic. It's going to make you a better marketer. It's going to give you financial independence. You know, whatever those reasons are, if it's comedy, maybe it's just like, hey, maybe they identify with your style of comedy. You know, they just, I don't know. What do you think about this? Are there any other things you would apply to this? Or are you just kind of like processing it through like I am?
I mean, I'm pretty much processing it like you are. I'm trying to figure out, because I think obviously that the need is to have a channel, except, you know, the trailer to explain to your viewers. But I think it's something just to think about, because it also helps you as a creator kind of whittle it down of like, okay, who am I? Why should people care about my content? What makes my channel unique? You know, that way you can kind of identify how you can make content in the future and make it better and more pointed, as opposed to just like, I want to make wacky videos. Well, that's really broad. And that's still something I'm trying to work out the kinks. Like I do food reviews and I really enjoy it, but I'm still trying to feel out, because I've had a channel for a long time, but like this whole kind of new angle, which has been good. And I'm really fortunate. Like it's had a decent amount of success, but yeah, I'm still processing, and it's something that even I don't really know about. So I'm learning with you guys, like, you know, listening. I'm still trying to figure out, okay, like, if I had a channel pitch, what would I say? Like, why should people care about Jake Arndt, you know, the YouTube creator? So that's something I'm still just kind of digesting and trying to, I know a little bit more than I did like last year, but that's still something I'm trying to feel out. And, yeah, so that's something that I'm really hoping to kind of nail down. That way my channel could be more focused in the future, because, yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing here. I'm just feeling it out.
Sweet. Well, at least we have a direction of some things mm-hmm. we can do to get noticed, to get more subscribers, and to just in general make it a better experience for viewers, which is what matters at the end of mm-hmm. the day. So I think those are hopefully some good takeaways.
Yeah.
I know I'll definitely be applying. And hopefully it was helpful for a bunch of other people too. Cool stuff.
Yeah, man. Good episode. Well,
yeah, that's good stuff. I want to go ahead and read a review, Steve.
Ooh, I love reviews.
Another 5-star review. Another one.
Oh, man.
I know. They're piling up. This one says, Authentic and Real by Peyton. And it says, Matt and Jake are refreshing and unique. They inspire you by their action and testimonies. It is a brilliant mix of authenticity and can-do attitude that makes a concoction, I like that, concoction of motivation to achieve your goals and aspirations. Thanks for the podcast. Keep them coming.
Thanks, Peyton.
That's
man,
good
appreciate
stuff.
It. I love getting feedback and getting 5-star reviews. That's why you guys listening need to give us a 5-star review, because it's important to us.
Check it out on iTunes. Leave us a note. Give us a shout out with the YouTube SEO strategy that you've actually tried or that you're going to try next. I'd love to hear that in a review. Let it rip.
Yeah, man. 6starsonly.com, and we'll put in the show notes for this this little article kind of.
Yep. 6starsonly.com/12.
Episode 12, man. 12 episodes already. Boom. We're killing it.
Flies by when you're having fun.
All right. That's it.
Cool stuff.
Awesome.
Well, go check out Jake's
check out my
definitive
channel.
Guide to the best cheese crackers.
Like, comment, subscribe. Thank you so much for watching. That's going to just be my channel trailer. But yeah, take a look at it.
As we're closing out, we have to talk about the best subscribe closing screen of all time with Kenan Thompson on the SML
from
channel.
From subscribe.
Subscribe, and then he'd shoot lasers out of his fingers. So I think that's how we should sign off.
Lasers. Pew, pew. Oh, awesome. Kenan Thompson.
All right.
See you guys.
Peace out.
Oh, Kenan.